Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live here Monday, St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. It's March the 17th. Spring is only 3 days away. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You're listening to us on blogtalkradio.com. And joining me today is my partner, who does a lot of work behind the scenes, Tammy Allman. Tammy, hey, how's it going?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, not too bad. We got some things cooking. We're redoing the website. Well, we got a lot of stuff that we're going to – everybody will have to stay tuned and check out in the future. Right now, they can always go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/GarageTalkLive. If they have the like button, if they haven't hit it yet, go ahead and hit it. It's nice being over 1,000 likes. I guess now we got to get 2,000.
Yeah, that's our next goal, get to 2,000 before the end of the season, which I think we can do that this year.
Well, seems like we got some up-and-coming new announcements we'll be making in the future about our media network here on blogtalkradio.com, so we'll be covering more motorsports coming down the road. So we don't want to break anything just yet, Tam, right? We've got to make sure it's in the books first and have these people all on board, then we can make the public announcement.
That's so right. Anyway, there's all kinds of things always going on.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're going to do is spread the words of motorsports and then a few other things, I guess. Sometimes I like to swap topics every now and again just for a change of pace, but with all the time we have to do the show, we can get it all in. And you've been doing a lot of the local work up in the Pottstown area with tracks like Reading. You had your reunions, and now you got Lincoln Speedway, and what are some of the other ones besides Grandview? I know you have like about 4 or 5 of them now.
Oh, we've got tons of stuff going on. We have a lot of season openers. There's New Egypt, I believe, is this weekend for opening. I think Steelers Grove is going to make a go at it this weekend for opening. Big Diamond has their first practice day scheduled for this Sunday. Grandview's practice day is scheduled for 2 weeks from this past weekend on a Saturday. You know, we had a little bit of snow in this area, but it's all melted already by today, and hopefully what they're calling for the rest of the week isn't going to hit us. And, you know, it's time to get some nicer weather, and it's time to go racing up here in the Northeast. We're tired of being snowed in, and we're ready to get out the door. And I know for me, my season started this weekend down at Phoenixville, Montgomery County Quarter Midget Club, and they had what they call a driver's experience. And we had over 48 first-time drivers take to the track this weekend and learn what it's like to race a car.
Wow. That's pretty good. Quarter midgets now, they're really tiny. They're like, they look like midgets, and they're about the size of go-karts, right?
Yeah, they're a little bit bigger than a go-kart. Not much. I mean, they do have the bodies and the shells and everything, so it looks like a little sprint without a wing on it. Really had a blast. I mean, this is a chance for them to come down and it basically try it before you buy the car. So if you had a child that was interested in getting into racing but you weren't sure if they're really going to like it or not, they could come on down, visit the track, and several teams donated their cars for use for during the day. And they got to go out and take a couple laps around the track to see what it's like to be behind the wheel. And it's an absolutely great experience for anybody, you know, that's interested in getting the sport but doesn't want to pull all the money out up front just in case, you know, the kid decides they don't like it. And we had a lot of the veteran racers that we have down at that club take the time out of their schedules to come visit with these kids and talk with them and give them some pep talks and some training before they go out on the track. And we had some youngsters that were a little bit afraid when the motors were running. So, you know, we had our veteran racers and some of the adults go out and volunteer, and they'd push them around the track without the car running, just so the kids could get the feel of the car and see how it would turn and kind of give them a little bit of a comfort feeling in the car before, and, you know, once they felt comfortable, then they'd, you know, turn the car on if they were feeling like they wanted to give it a try. So, I mean, it was definitely all about the kids and making them feel comfortable and teaching them all about the sport, which it's just an amazing experience. I am so glad that I had a chance to go down there and be a part of it.
Hey, if they had something like that when I was young instead of, like, piano lessons, I might have went for that.
I
might have went for that. That sounds
like I think they do it twice a year, so I believe they're going to have a chance to do it again in the fall.
Yeah, that seems That seems pretty good, get kids interested at a young age. Because anymore, I mean, some of these drivers that even make it to the top levels, they're, you're now talking 17-year-olds running ARCA and some now truck races. Used to be, you couldn't be under 18 to even make the truck series. And now you have kids, last year you had like Chase Elliott and Jeff Burton, all they were running the shorter tracks because you have to be 18, I guess, to run the bigger tracks. But now they're just starting them out early, and this way they could weed through the good ones and the ones that were really determined to make it on through, and then start them out in the quarter midgets, let them get a feel for it. Kids change likes, change their interests pretty regularly, so if they don't want to go out and spend the money on a quarter midget car, that's probably the best way to do it.
Yeah, it is. And what's great about it, too, is when you do decide then that you want to get into it and you purchase the car and you get ready to go race, they have what's called a novice school, which this year it starts on March 26th. And the first night they said it's going to be classroom. So the parents will be in one room, the kids will be in another room. They're going to teach you about what to experience. They're going to show you, you know, go over the flag, go over race procedures, things like that. And, you know, talk to the parents, too, about what to expect and, you know, how to encourage the kids and be supportive. Because that's the biggest thing, too, is the kids that excel are the kids that have the parents that are there supporting them no matter what. Even on a bad night, it's always a good day. And that's just a great outlook to have with the sport. So they're going to have classroom, and then they're going to take them, and it's going to be time for just them to go down the track then a couple Wednesdays after that. So those kids who have never raced before are going to just go down, and they're going to learn about racing, learn about how lining up, you know, your caution speed, your racing etiquette, things like that they're going to get taught before they turn them loose on actual racing.
Yeah, I think it's good to have a good foundation there, especially when they start spooling up the motors and, you know, when they go in, they have to know to turn left. They're going to have to steer right to keep it that way. Otherwise, they're going to spin out, smack the wall. And there's a whole lot of intricacies in dirt track that you don't get when asphalt track. And start about like that. I mean, I don't know what a quarter midget goes for these days, but I'm sure it's a few thousand dollars. It's, you know, not something you want to jump into and then say a year later, say, oh, I don't want it no more. Then somebody's got to put it up for sale.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot of work, and it is expensive. I know some of the cars and things like that were for sale down there. If you look at the prices, you know, it's not cheap to get into, but one of the good things is, you know, a car may last you a couple seasons as compared to when you get into the bigger ranks, and so there's more maintenance and everything that has to be done. So, I mean, it's a great way to start off in the sport and get your feet wet and learn how to drive. And also teaches you the sportsmanship, which is a big thing. So I think, you know, I'm seeing less and less of that attraction. I hate to say it that way, but, you know, when you're teaching these kids young how to be helpful and work with each other, it just follows them up through the ranks. And I, you know, I'm just so grateful to see that some of these young rookies and everything that are coming through the ranks are out there helping each other on this, you know, the bigger tracks and working together. And that's what the sport is all about. Everybody working together for the good of the sport.
And that's how you keep the talent lines coming. I saw somewhere on one of the local areas down here, I think it's one of the, we have these county Facebook pages called Flea Markets, and somebody had a modified up for sale. And this thing was minus the engine, minus the transmission, minus the shocks for like $5,000. And if you wanted the engine, the transmission and the shocks was like $8,000. And I don't know if it's a good price or what, but I thought about it.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, you know, no matter what form of racing you're in, it's always going to have expenses with it. So, you know, that's one of the things I started doing a lot more work with, the sponsorship and the marketing for a lot of teams. And, you know, that's the first thing I kind of sit down with them and go, what's your budget? What do you need to get through the year? And we go from there. And it's sometimes it's easier to work backwards and know what your total cost is going to be for the year. So you can kind of say, well, I need 10 sponsors at this price to be able to make it through the year a little bit easier.
Yeah, if you do figure that's just the price of the car is what I would say, you know, just to buy a car.
Right.
And if
just
you want
to
go out and get your own motors
and
stuff for it.
Yep, and then you're worrying about tow money back and forth every week, the fuel to get to and from the track, the fuel to race the car, the tires for the car, you know, parts, routine maintenance. And then if you do have an accident or get any damage, you know, the cost to repair it. So, yeah, that's the one thing is, there's a lot involved with
them. Yeah, well, it's a lot easier to tote a quarter midget around than it is a full modified, because you need a bigger trailer, and you have the tire racks. You bring everybody has a set of tires on that, and then you need a truck to haul it. And, it's just a whole lot of. I mean, it's not just the car, like you said, it's the fuel, it's the to and fro to run the car. Then there's entry fees. I don't know what they usually run. I'm sure H-Track has their own set one. I think Grandview, I don't know what their entry fee is, but I'm sure it's not that cheap.
You have your entry fees. You have your pit licenses or sanctioning fees, depending on what your governing body is. You know, Grandview is a NASCAR sanctioned track, so you need a NASCAR license. Big Diamond,
so
which is our other local dirt track up here, they went dirt, so you have to get a dirt sanction license. And then, you know, some of your tracks, they may not be actually sanctioned by a governing body, but they may still need to require you to get a pit license. You know, like for me, for the motocross, I have to get an AMA sanctioning every time I go out to race. So every year I have to renew my AMA membership, and then I have to, on top of that, either get a track membership or a district membership, depending on where I'm racing at.
So if it's just like when you were running at English Town, you'd just get English Town, but if you wanted to go to a couple different ones, then it's a whole different ballgame.
Right, yep, I'd have to get different sanctioning if I go, like if I was running in a District 6 event, but then I'd go and decide I want to go jump over to a District 7 or an MVRA event, you know, there's a whole other sanctioning fee that I have to pay for, and even if I'm only running that one race, I still have to pay for a year's sanctioning.
Yeah, they want to get your money up front this way, yeah. This way, if you did want to come back to them, you're already sanctioned, but you know you have the other stuff to get. But I think it's kind of hard. I don't know how some of these teams do it, going from Grandview to say maybe New Egypt. If they go out to Lincoln or Bridgeport, or I think there's one in Delaware somewhere that they all travel to, and
what are you doing, girl?
They have to. Have the, you know, how they manage to afford all this stuff. And I guess that's where the sponsors come in, because a lot of these guys, you know, aren't that rich, but they like to go do their weekend thing.
Right, and it is. It all depends on where you're running or what you're doing in your division, so expenses are going to run too.
I know. I mean, a lot of these, you have just your weekenders, and then you're the ones that have the dream of moving on up to the big leagues, and that's pretty much, how the talent pool flows. Speaking of big leagues, this weekend with NASCAR, the Nationwide Series and Cup Series were down at Bristol, and our buddies over at the NHRA were down in Florida, and now that's something totally different. Going around in circles and going in a straight line at 300 plus miles an hour.
Yeah, I've got to do the circle thing, and I've done the motocross thing. I haven't ever done the drag racing thing. Maybe I need to add that to my bucket list. You know, my bucket list was getting really small, and I only had one or two things left on it. So maybe I need to add that on my bucket list.
Well, I guess you'd have to go to a drag racing school, and actually, you don't even have to go to a school. Go down to your local drag strip and you run brackets. That's where if you dial in at a certain time and somebody dials in, that's a quicker car next to you, you get a little bit of a handicap, and you get the green light first. And as long as you beat them to the finish line, you win. If they manage to catch you and pass you, they win.
I think that's something I'm going to have to go try it out.
Now, I know years ago, when I was in, I guess it was the mid-80s, I had some friends that had some rich friends in Cherry Hill. They rented out Atco Dragway. So we all went down there we all had Trans Am. So we took the cars down, we dialed in at a certain time, and if you went faster than the time you dialed in, you got disqualified, believe it or not. So you had to keep it above that and still beat the other car to the finish line to take the win light. And I'll tell you, it's pretty interesting how to do that. Now, they used to have the different trees. You know, you used to have it used to be red. They used to count down the yellow and go to green, as opposed to the NHRA, which is red, then the solid yellow, and then the green, where they only have two lights to worry about. So it's a big difference going from your 300 horsepower street car to your 10,000 horsepower nitro car. But now pro stock, where Eric Anders and Jake Coughlin and some of them guys, you know, Al Johnson and all of them, they all run pro stocks, which is a five speed. They actually have to shift.
I don't think that's too much going on at one time for me. I'd be totally lost. Just give me the gas and the steering wheel. That's probably all I could figure out how to handle.
Yeah, and then the parachute release at the end of the drag.
That too. I need to do that too. I forget about that, knowing me.
Yeah, that's a must. You want to make sure you deploy the chutes, especially if you're going that fast. Otherwise, you can run through the... They give you, I think, only about another quarter mile before the end of the road there, and then you wind up in a gravel pit, but, you know, you didn't want to go crashing into the far end, and some of those cars are pretty difficult. But I don't know. It's, you know, the best I can say as far as oval track goes, I've had my car on a speedway. I had my truck halfway around a speedway. Of course, you did too, but you decided to wear your beverage.
Now I've done it before, though. I mean, I've driven my personal car a couple times on Pocono. Dover and me just didn't work. I wore my drink, so yeah, obviously me and banking and no cup holders, just it's not going to work. Don't put the 44-ounce Big Gulp Mountain Dew in your car and try and drive around Dover. You're going to wear it every time.
Yeah, you want something with a bottle cap on it.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, Pocono, go around Pocono, that probably, that must take a while in your regular vehicle.
Well, I did it in a Cavalier, I did it in a Buick, and I did it in my Jeep.
It's 2.5 miles long. That's what I mean, it must take a while.
It definitely wasn't as fast as when Brett took me for a ride around it, that's for sure. I'll admit, I kind of like, especially the Cavalier. I think that was my favorite car to drive around out there, because that was the fastest one that I had to take out there.
Yeah, since I took the Mustang around Bristol. That was pretty cool. But I took a video of that, but I was holding the phone camera taking it, so it's not the same. So next time I'm going to mount the thing to the, if I get to do it again, because if you buy a ticket, buy your tickets before a certain date, because we just bought tickets and went in.
Right.
And if you have them by a certain date, they said, hey, come on down and drive the track. Sure. So that was a neat experience. But as far as motorsports going, the dirt season's kicking up. NASCAR, can you believe this? Four different tracks, four different winners. And everybody that's won is now in the chase. So if you get that win, you make the chase, and then you can have fun the rest of the year trying new things, just going out to win races, because I guess the more races you win with this new format, the higher your seating is. So, and they take the top 16. So you know you don't have more than 16 winners in a year, so... Anybody that, after the wins runs out, then they work on points. So it's kind of a, if you get a win early, then you can race for fun the rest of the year because you know you're in, and the more wins you get, you know, when they reset after Richmond to start the chase, and that's where all that comes in. So I guess it's more of an emphasis on winning, and... it's good to see some guys already in, that, like Dale Jr., Keselowski, Harvick, Carl Edwards now, and then so far Johnson hasn't made it. Kenseth hasn't made it yet. I'm sure Tony Stewart will get a win before the end of the year to get in. It's just pretty interesting, I think, how this – new format's shaking out, and I guess the new qualifying. I haven't watched qualify now, but now they do them in groups. And it seems to make for an interesting starting. Have you had a chance to catch any of that?
I haven't yet, but I don't know. I am so old school. I want to see you knock down, drag out fight to the end of the season, everybody fighting. You know, I like the chase. It's okay. It's a great idea. I understand you're putting your best of the best out there. But I'm old school. I'm the days of Davey Allison and Alec Kulwicki battling it for the last race to see who's going to become your points champion. And that's just how I like to see things come out, you know. And that, we had that happen at Grandview last year with the late mile class. It came down to the very last night, to the very last lap, before we knew who our champion was going to be this year. And that's the type of racing I like to see. I like to see that really tight, close racing that's making these guys have to work hard for it and go out there week after week and put every last bit of effort that they have into trying to win that championship.
That's true, but at a certain point, it got to be the reason why they brought the chase out is, well, somebody's got a big points lead. I think it was the last year of the old Winston Cup with Matt Kenseth. He had like a 400-point lead. Nobody was going to catch him. Football season came on. Everybody turned off the Watson Racing because, you could pretty much pick the three drivers who were going to win on any given week. And I think nowadays it's made it to where it's more competitive. So now
I think so. See, here's where my old school comes into play is I like a handicapping system. I know they qualify based on time. But no offense, if you were last week's winner, you shouldn't be starting the pole this week. I don't care if you have the fastest time or not. If you were last week's winner, you should not be on that pole. You should not be on that front row. I think they should have to start mid-pack and make them work for it, you know. And that's where I think it would change a lot of the face of the sport. And I understand these guys do a lot more racing than our normal, you know, 50, you know, anywhere from 20 to, you know, 76 laps or, you know, 100 laps when I go to the 100-lap racers over here with dirt track. But I'm a big fan of handicapping. I'm a big fan of if you were so good that you could come from the back of the field to the front of the field, then that's what I want to see. That's the type of racing. I want to see those good drivers having to work hard to get to the front of that pack. And I understand with NASCAR, you're going to have your pit stops. And it's going to, you know, the crew gets more of the focus, too, on NASCAR because they have to work really hard to get those tires changed, get the car fueled up, make any adjustments, and get that car back out there before everybody else. So in that aspect, NASCAR is a true team sport. But I want to see the drivers have to work for it a little bit more.
Yeah, but the thing of it is, too, is if you do it the other way, you get the slower cars that make the field up at the front, and it could cause everybody, I mean, they're going to get caught whether they're at the back end of the field. So at least give them a little bit of a chance to get caught as opposed to clogging the front of the field up at the start of the race when they drop the green. So, hey, it might come to that. You never know. This is the first year they've changed up the qualifying.
I'm a huge fan of that.
But if somebody puts all their effort into getting their car that has a good qualifying speed, and they're not running single laps anymore, so it's how they practice. They go out in four different groups, I think, and that's how you make the field, depending on what your speed is in that group, and even then you can get beaten by somebody else in group number two, and that'll put you outside the front row instead of, you know, on the pole. I don't know. I have to watch qualifying. If anybody wants to give us a call and tell us that they've watched the qualifying, the number is 646-649-1899. I'm curious to get everybody's take on NASCAR's new stuff for this year. Let's throw it out to the audience, see if anybody wants to call in and give us their 2 cents worth.
There you go.
I mean, it's been a while since we've thrown it out for calls. Usually I got the guests on. As a matter of fact, next week we're going to have Jennifer Jo Cobb call in. And you know who I want to get on? I'm going to try to get on one of the owning partners of Swan Racing. I had the major owner last year. I'm going to see if I get the minority owner. 50 Cent. He's the rapper. He's part owner of the team. So we'll get his, see if I can get his take on it. I'll have to send an email out to their people. Because last year we had the owner, Parker Kligerman, and Cole Witt on when they were announced that they were driving for them for last year. So I'm pretty much have had everybody involved with that team on. So well, I'm going to try to get 50 Cent on.
There we go. That'd be cool.
So that's another thing about the sports. I like to see what attracts people to the motorsports world that really haven't had anything to do with it pretty much their whole lives. And you kind of get some of that when you get some outsiders on. And I think I saw we're voting for the Sprint All-Star race has opened up, so we'll have to get Miss Sprint Cup on to help promote that. Tell us about all the new products that they're dealing with this year. Are you on the family plan yet?
I'm not. I don't know what we're going to do because my phone lines are going to be dropping down to just 2 and my iPad. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I renewed, so I'm stuck in a contract with them. But, well, service is good, but it's not always the best. And where I'm going isn't even going to have real good service because I'm going to be in the woods. But it's all good.
Mm. Verizon. No. That's where I'm at. That's what I got. Believe it or not, I'm in the, when you decide to come down here and visit, you'll see I'm in the middle of nowhere. But right near me, this county is not ashamed of having cell towers put up. So I always have good cell service at the house. When it first started, I didn't. But then you used to have to upgrade your software every now and again, and once that was done. So speaking of Verizon, they're now the primary sponsor of the IndyCar series. So it's not going to be the Verizon IndyCar series. It used to be the iZod last year.
Okay.
Now it's this year. It's they signed Verizon as their primary sponsor for their top series, so it's going to be the Verizon IndyCar series. Of course, they're one. They sponsor one of the Penske cars. I think it's not that they weren't in the sport before, but now they're going on a bigger scale, becoming the.
You ask me out? Okay.
Who's that? Hello?
Do you have somebody on the line?
Somebody jumped in. I don't know who it is. I don't have to see a number on the line. The only one is the only two are ours.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Wait.
Somebody there? We have a ghost caller.
That's what it sounds like.
You want the switchboard?
Yeah, talk about your line, too. Okay.
Fire radio?
I don't know.
You say it into the line, and you can just talk with it.
I think whoever's back at Blog Talk website is bleeding in.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Is there a man with you? Are you alone? That was weird.
Hey, John, we're sitting here at the Anaheim warehouse. This has got to be angels heaven. And, you know, basically what's going on here is that we are sitting here with Bruno Serrato, the owner, the founder, the visionary of the Anaheim warehouse. And he has presented to us
somebody's bleeding into our signal.
And you know what?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Trying to figure. I wonder who that could be.
Yeah. talk about his wine list?
Wow, that's weird.
Things he's doing? Do I want to talk about the fact that he's a saint in the making? What are we going to talk about? Well, Bob, we can probably do about five shows.
I'm listening. Can you listen? Can anybody else hear this?
But it's fun because there are creatures that have it.
If anybody else could hear a third party besides Pammy and I, give us a call at 646-649-1899.
We come here, we do the calamari con grappa on the short rib. That's all we did. And then
yeah, that's a little weird. I don't know where that voice is coming from.
And we did the filet with the gorgonzola, and I did it.
It sounds like another radio show.
Yeah, we definitely have bleed over coming through.
Do you know how to contact those people?
I don't even know what show it is. I just went in and looked at the switchboard. There's no callers or anything like that, so it's definitely something on Blog Talk then.
Yeah, somebody is using a super amplifier out of somewhere and must be bleeding over. That's something weird, though. You see on the internet line. I mean, if I was picking up free, you know, radio waves.
And then, Bruno, whatever else you want to find out. But my wine is very Polish. I'm from Verona.
I wonder if they can hear us.
Part of Italy,
independent.
I don't know. Can valley of North Italy. You know, from Pamarone, but Chiara and Suave, which my they won't.
This is kind of weird.
Yeah, I'm getting a hold of them right now.
Okay, so it's hard to concentrate on the show here when you're getting a show there, so.
But this one's very good to me because I found with Garbo lately.
I'm glad we didn't have a real guest on. That'd be upsetting.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you what. Let me hit the Caden's candle. We'll take a little break here and be right back in a minute or so.
Caden's Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Caden's uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Caden's Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Caden's Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cadenscandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Caden's Candle.
And we're back. I've been here on Garage Talk Live. The time is now 8:33. With here with Tammy, and I don't know. Anything sorted out?
They're coming in to check. One moment.
Okay. Well, anyway, talking about this weekend's events, the Amali Gator Nationals down in Florida was in the top fuel ranks. It was Doug Kalita taking the trophy over Antron Brown in the final. Of course, Kalita, son of Connie Kalita, has a Kalita race team, and Kalita's round took him from qualifying fourth, facing Brittany Force in the first round, and he won with a 3.795 to Brittany's 3.825, so coming off her first run in the finals
a couple weeks ago. Went out in the first round, wasn't quite something she wanted to do. And Kalita then went on to face David Grubnik in round two. And then round three went up against Steve Torrance. And Torrance had a bad run with a 766 to Kalita's 385. Of course, Kalita's 3.829 in round two over Grubnik's 3.8, who had the better ET. It was looked like a whole shot went for Kalita to get him in the semifinals. Then Antron Brown smoked the tires in the final round, and Kalita had a clean run of a 3.8 with the top speed, with speed of 323.74. The low ET of the weekend was done in the qualifying round by Sean Langdon, turning a 3.776. Best reaction time was a 0.37 by J.R. Todd, who Langdon wound up facing in round one. And Todd went on to beat Langdon and lost to Steve Torrance, who did make it to the semifinals after that. Top speed was a 3.259 by Talton. And he was able to get into the semifinals in Kalita, but it just happened to be Kalita's day, and went on to take the top fuel division. In the funny car division, things turned out to be a little different. It turned out to be a final between John Force teammates, 16-time champion and car owner John Force, facing our guest from a couple weeks ago who lost in the finals to Alexis DeJoria, Robert Height. This trip around, he didn't have to face Alexis. Alexis going out in round one with a minus 115, so I guess she red-lighted there in round one, going up against Fast Jack Beckman. Beckman went on to face Ron Capps in round two. Capps beat Beckman and went to face Rob Height in the semifinals. Robert Height had a pretty, didn't have an easy time of it either. He had Tony Pedregon in round one, taking that 406 to 419, then facing Ford teammate, fellow Ford driver, I should say teammate, Bob Tasca the third. Tasca smoking the tires, and Height was able to maintain a 4-1. Tasca 6-2, and then, of course, in the semifinals, Height's 4-1-6 to Ron Capps is 7-6-6. Capps having problems in the round, so the semifinal round went to Height. In his opponent in the final round, John Force, was bottom qualifier at 4.075, sixth qualifying 16th, taking round one over Cruz Pedregon with a 4.07 to Pedregon's 4.1. So Force went on to face Del Worsham in round two, who beat Tommy Johnson Jr. with a 4-1-1 to a 4-1-5 to face Force. Force had the better time of a 4-1-3 to a 4.59 to take the second round, then go up against his daughter Courtney. Courtney faced off against last year's champ Matt Hagen to face in round one to go up against a Ford driver, Tim Wilkerson, so who qualified 13th. It's kind of weird how Force qualified 16th. Wilkerson's Ford qualified 13th. Courtney having one of the better qualifying runs in a Ford. She qualified 5th. She was able to take on Wilkerson in her 4-1-4. Put her in the semifinals against her dad, in which Courtney had some problems there, lighting the tires and having some problems with a 6.09 to John Force's 4.24, setting up the final round showdown with Rob Height. Of course, Rob Height, one of his better runs of the day with a 4.07, was able to take John at 6.4 and give him the Wally. The lowest ET was a 4.061 by Rob Height. The best reaction time was an 0.28 by Jeff Arend, and of course, and the top speed of the weekend was John Force with a 317.12 miles an hour, and he did that in round one. Going to the pro stocks, looked like it was going to be a good day for the pro stock drivers. It turned out to come down to Alan Johnson versus Erica Ender Stevens. I was trying to get her on the show for this week, but we'll get her on. She's been on before. She was having a pretty good weekend with a 2nd place qualifying with so she was going up against Robert Patrick in round one. That was a good drag race there with her 6.54 to his 6.67. Then she goes to round two to V Gaines, and that was another good one. Her 5.35, her 6.535 to V Gaines is 6.571. Another close race, but she was pulled it off of the line. Round the semifinal round came down to Erica facing Vincent Nobile, and again by 0.02 of a second, she was able to hold off Nobile in some excellent footwork. And then, but her opponent in that round was Alan Johnson. Was able to, with his 4th place qualifying, he was running 6.55s as well, except round two where he had a 7.41 up against Shane Gray, who really had problems with a 13.9. Of course, semifinal round was Alan Johnson against Ender's former teammate, Dave Connolly. With his Johnson taking it with a 6.56 to Connolly's 6.58. A lot of close racing in the pro stock division. And then it came down to the finals between Erica Enders Stevens and Alan Johnson. Erica Enders having the better ET with a 6.55. She lost to Alan Johnson's 6.56, but the reaction time of Johnson was 0.17 to Erica's 0.47 turned out to be the difference with the whole shot win. So if she was able to get off the line maybe a skosh quicker, reacting to the tree, she probably would have won that. Top speed for the day was 2:14.69 with Erica Enders getting that. Dave Connolly had the lowest ET with of the weekend. That includes Thursday, Friday, and Saturday's qualifying one. He had a 6.47, and the best reaction time was Jonathan Gray with a 0.04. That's like as soon as that light's green, he's on it, and that was done in round one of eliminations yesterday. So. That being done, I have the NASCAR boys in action. Of course, nationwide on Saturday when we had the weather running, looking real nice, and who knew it was going to turn around on Sunday and wreak havoc. But it was for the 2nd year in a row for this event, Kyle Busch tell them to win, and Kyle Larson finished second. Now, both of these are... Now, last year, Larson was running for nationwide points. This year, he isn't. So he's running in the Cup Series for Rookie of the Year and, of course, Sprint Cup points. But he was able to finish, too. This year was in the 42 Chevrolet, and he went up against Kyle Busch again. Of course, Kyle Busch led four times for 120 laps. And that wasn't even the most laps led. The most laps led was a fifth-place finisher, Matt Kenseth. He led three times for 178 laps. So there were only three lap leaders the whole race out of the 300 laps that were run. Harvick finished third in the race. Ryan Blaney was fourth in the 22 discount tire. Penske Ford, that's the one that Brad Keselowski pretty much drove last year with, along with Joey Logano and A.J. Allmendinger to get the owner's championship. This fourth, 10th and 5th, Ty Dillon wound up finishing 6th, a good run for him in the Yingling Light Lager Chevy. I was wondering if they were ever going to sponsor a car, Yingling. I drink enough of that product. Brendan Gaughan wound up 7th. Trevor Bayne 8th. Chase Elliott in the number 9 Napa Auto Parts Chevy was 9th. And Reagan Smith in the Tax Slayer Chevy, the number 7, was 10th. The race took an hour, 50 minutes, and 4 seconds. The average speed was 87.165 miles an hour. The margin of victory, 1.44 seconds. There were 7 cautions for 47 laps, so out of 300, it's not too bad, considering it was Bristol. The groove was changed because it had been cleaned off from rain the night before. It was sunny. They had to put no rubber down. So by the time they got it all worked in, it turned out pretty good. As far as the points lead goes, Reagan Smith leads the Nationwide Series points right now by a point over Trevor Bayne, who's in second. Ty Dillon looking for running for Rookie of the Year as well as Nationwide Championship, the third. He's 8 back. Chase Elliott, the son of Austin Bill, is 4th. He's 13 back. Elliott Sadler in 5th spot. He's 16 back. 7th is Brian Scott. 8th, James Buescher. 9th is a rookie, Dylan Kwasniewski. And 10th is Landon Castle. So it was a pretty clean race. The last caution came out on lap 288. Was the 7th caution. The 51 car was an accident in turn 4. That lasted 4 laps and set the stage for the 9-lap shootout at the end. They did not go overtime. So that race stayed clean. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, I think we have some audio from yesterday's winner, Kyle Busch. Here's Kyle with his crew chief, and this is what he had to say.
Okay, let's roll right into our race winner for today's 32nd annual Drive to Stop Diabetes 300, presented by Lilly Diabetes, NASCAR Nationwide Series race. And for the 16th time at Bristol Motor Speedway, Kyle Busch is going to victory lane in NASCAR National Series event more than any other driver at any other track. The 16 wins is a record. 65 nationwide series wins now for Kyle Busch. So, Kyle, congratulations to you and Adam Stevens. Certainly, it was a heck of a battle there. People were breathing down your neck to get to the win. But just talk about how you were managed to get to victory lane once again.
Yeah, I think a lot of it just is a testament to Adam and our guys and all the work they do and everything they know about our race cars. You know, it just was a great effort, you know, entirely different race than what practice was yesterday. So everybody being around the bottom and maybe a half lane off the bottom yesterday to the track really widening it out. In the first 20 laps, it went really quick. And guys running all the way up to the ground, And, you know, just having that difference today was a totally different feel in a race car for us. So all in all, I thought that, you know, Adam did a great job making some calls to, you know, keep up with the racetrack to get our car better than what it was early in the race. It seemed like we were just too tight to start off, and it seemed like we had a couple tire problems as well, too, is what Adam told me there. But, you know, from there on out, the rest of the race was good, and we were just kind of working our way back forward a little bit, racing some lap traffic, racing Kenseth and Larson and Harvick and those guys. So just at the end, trying to keep them at bay and get some good restarts. And it seemed like whoever was always in fourth would kind of jump to second. You know, it seemed like I could keep doing that job a little bit. And, you know, maybe if there was one more caution, I could have jumped the 20 back up there. But, you know, it was a good race for us. Proud to be in victory lane, proud of Adam and our guys. So, you know, another one here at Bristol's good.
Adam, talk about, you know, how maybe the track conditions change from.
There you have Kyle Busch with his thoughts on the win. As far as the Cup Series goes, wasn't Kyle's day to take the Cup Series, but it was Carl Edwards coming back to victory lane, and he was able to take the win here, and it was a good win for him because looking to make the chase again. And that was a good day for Ford because Ford took the top three spots in the Cup race yesterday, with Carl Edwards finishing first, teammate Ricky Stenhouse Jr., his best race ever in the Nationwide Series, finishing second. And Eric Almirola in the 43 with his best Nationwide finish ever. So three Fords in the top three. Tony Stewart finishing fourth kind of ruined it for the Ford. Because in fifth place, Marcus Ambrose in the Stanley Ford. So you have four Fords in the top five. You had the funny car division in NHRA. First and second was Fords with John Force and Rob Height. Courtney was in either third or fourth, I guess, depending on how you looked at it. They're in a Ford as well. So out of the top nine finishing positions, I guess, between the top five in the Sprint Cup and the final four in the NHRA Funny Car, were all Fords. And the only standout, of course, was Tony Stewart and Tony Pedregon in the Funny Car division, where they drove another make. So, good day for Ford this weekend. You can't argue about that. Denny Hamlin wound up sixth. Jeff Gordon was seventh. Eighth was Casey Kane. Good run for Brian Vickers in ninth. Kyle Larson finishing tenth. Good Matt Kenseth, who was leading at one time, got slammed from behind. and wound up getting his back end wrinkled up by a, and got hit by a rookie who kind of pretty much didn't get slowed down enough. So it was kind of weird how that happened. But the way the time of the race took 3 hours and 11 minutes and 23 seconds. Now, that's combined running time. Again, the race was scheduled to go off at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. It was delayed an hour due to or the rain finishing up and then track drying. Then the rain came out again, and then it rained, and then they didn't get it restarted till, I guess, about 20 of 8 last night, and then wound up finishing the event shortly after 10 o'clock. They only had gotten 150 laps in before it was postponed. And it was just kind of, it was kind of funny how it was reminiscent of what happened at Daytona for the Daytona 500, where they came back and wound up finishing it at night, which is kind of strange. You figure you got to, what's scheduled as a day race, you figure you get a little less than half in the daytime, and then it's rained, and then they come back and get the other 350 laps in at night. So you had a day race and a night race and a lot of lag time in between. So it was just kind of strange how that happened. So when you get in the way they finished up, it turned out to be Carl Edwards taking the checkered flag for his first win of the season. The lap leader who led the most laps was Matt Kenseth. He led 4 times for 165 laps. Carl Edwards led once for 78 laps, and that was the last 78 laps, so those are the ones that counted. He got 4 bonus points on that for a total of 47. As far as the points go, Brad Keselowski takes over the points lead from Dale Jr., who had a tough time of it yesterday. He wound up in 24th place after start 14th. He had some technical problems, wound up a lap down. So not a good day for Dale Jr. The average speed of the race was 84.5 miles an hour. Margin of victory under caution. I don't know what they were doing. You know, they had the caution came out, and then the rain started, so they were trying to figure out what the caution was for. There were several debris cautions, so probably it was that. And I think it was deemed that one of the light banks for the yellow flashing caution lights came on. And that threw everything in the caution due to all the rain and that happened. And then must have shorted it out is what the last word I had gotten on that. And then with less than a couple to go, they weren't going to restart it. They just let it finish under caution, and that's how it went. Of course, the red flag came out, was out for 3 hours and 3 hours and 19 minutes. So that was a long rain delay, and they were able to get the race in. Fortunately, it was a 500-miler, a 500-lapper instead of a 500-miler. And so they were able to tear through the laps kind of quick. We do have some audio from our winner, and this is Edwards about being able to relax now that he has a win.
And now, yeah, I can get some part of the group of guys that can go have some fun and focus on the final 10 races to win this championship. I've been a little bit jealous of those guys that have wins this early in the season. I was thinking today, I can't imagine what that must be like to be able to come to a racetrack like this and have all that pressure off of you. So now we'll get to go have some fun. I'm really excited about the next 22 races. That'll be a blast.
Of course, Edward's talking about how the new chase for the Sprint Cup will impact strategy.
So it's going to be really fun to go there. I'm taking a guess at what the four car and those guys were doing, but they were really fast down straightaways tonight, and they blew up. And I'm assuming they're probably on the let's develop things for the final 10 races program, and that's a luxury you have if you believe you're in the chase. So I think this new format is going to change the way people race throughout the year. It's going to be very interesting to see how it all culminates at the end and see what everybody brings to those final 10 races, considering the fact that they have time to work on things because there's not that pressure.
And there was your winner yesterday, Carl Edwards. Of course, this week we're calling out to Fontana at the Auto Club Speedway for our fifth different sized and shaped and configured track. So we're going with a 2-miler with a lot of racing room. It's awfully wide. Michigan's clone, but I think it runs a little bit faster. And so this should get kind of interesting. Look for a lot of motors to let go. They run high RPMs for long periods of time. It's only a 400-mile race. They used to run two here. So with that being said, you're talking average speed of the race last year was 135 miles an hour. Qualifying speeds were 187, 188 miles an hour. Last year, the pole speed was won by Denny Hamlin at 187.45. This year, with the new qualifying format, it'll be interesting to see what the qualifying speed's going to be for the pole. I think I'm going to have to start watching some qualifying. The race, of course, will be televised on Fox. It will be 2:30 p.m. with the green flag dropping at 3. California's weather has been freaky, but I don't think they should have any problems getting this one done. You shouldn't have a problem with that. So I will be making my pick for that one. I don't know, I went with Kyle Busch this week. He let me down. He wound up as a wall, so I don't know. I think I'm going to go with see who is looking pretty good this week here, who I want to go with. I don't know. Dale Jr. might run good there. Joe Logano, Fords, Toyotas, Chevys. You know what? I'm going to go with Joey Logano this week. I'm going to go with the 22. Seems to run well there. So that being said, that'll pretty much take care of things. So on that note, if you want to make your pick, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/GarageTalkLive. And we're sorry for the technical difficulty at the anchor base at Blog Talk Radio. We had some sort of feedback coming across. But we'll see you all next week. Jennifer Jo Cobb will be joining us, but I'll be double-checking, and maybe we'll have another guest in the meantime. So I'm going to try to see if I can get 50 Cent on, because he's part of ownership of Swan Racing. So we saw him out at the Daytona 500 there, and seemed like he was having a good time. So if we can't get one, we'll get one or the other. We'll get somebody anyway. So for all of you, thank you for joining us. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Good night and good racing.